Will you rise up and turn tragedy into triumph?
That is a really, really cool question to think about. And I'm not entirely sure the context that you want to talk about that in, but I think that's a great question. Because we have a lot of tragedies that happen to us, and we have a chance to rise up and turn them to triumph. What specifically did you have in mind?
I want to talk about injuries.
Ooh, that can be a huge tragedy for kids.
Well, why is it a tragedy? I mean, you and I take the long view, and we know that, okay, they're gonna heal, they're gonna get better. Why is it actually a tragedy?
Well, even with the long view, it's the tragedy comes in that an injury gets you to, like, it takes you off the path that you thought you were on. Like, you're like, okay, I've got this goal, I'm working hard for it. You got this path laid out in your mind, and then you get this huge uncontrollable thing like an injury that pops up, and it's tragic because it derails you from that goal. Like, you get an injury, and all of a sudden that goal that you had becomes very unclear, uncertain, and maybe even completely in doubt. And that's a tragic thing. It's a loss, yeah, is what it is. And loss is a tragedy.
And even I'm remembering back to when I was a teen, and even a severely sprained ankle, what we now refer to as a high ankle sprain, that takes you out for several days. And this was 1980. Mm-hmm. So we did not have all of the same recuperation strategies and knowledge that we have now. And I remember just being heartbroken, thinking that, am I going to miss a game? I can't practice. How long am I going to be out? When I come back, am I going to be able to function at, you know, what capacity? When am I going to be at full capacity?
Yeah.
It was terrible.
Yeah, the uncertainty is just awful in an injury situation. It's like, when am I coming back? Am I coming back? How's this going to impact it? Am I going to lose my starting role? Am I going to lose my opportunity? Is this going to cost me a skull? Like, I mean, it's so easy for your brain to go down a negative rabbit hole when you have an injury that you're dealing with.
So Nate, I suggest that we become like the rubber band man.
What do you mean?
We're going to bounce back. We're going to bounce back.
Okay.
Now, hey, there is a great song from the 70s. A little bit of funk and soul by the Spinners, called
totally
the Rubber Band Man.
I'm familiar with that song.
You should look it up. Our listeners should look it up. It's a fun song.
I'm going to have to now.
It's terrific.
Like the bounce back anthem?
Sure. I mean, I refer to it as a paper route song because it was songs that I was listening to on my paper route. Not even with my Walkman.
Route?
I did a paper route and I taped a bicentennial. Oh, I was in middle school. I was, I don't know, 12. 12 or 13.
Okay,
I taped a bike guy. Oh yeah, it was a Stingray bike with the big handlebars and throw the papers. And I taped an AM radio that was a bicentennial 1976 radio to my handlebars with black electrical tape. And anyway, Rubber Band Man, that was one of my paper route songs that would come on. You had no choice.
Who needs a Bluetooth speaker?
You had no choice of the music. I mean, you listen to the song that came on the radio.
And that was totally on the radio. Like, you didn't have like a cassette recording or?
No. No, we were.
Wow. Now, see, this is a tragedy. Can you imagine kids nowadays growing up with like, that was their deal? They had to listen to whatever was on the radio.
Yeah, we're
spoiled
nowadays.
You mean I can't have a Spotify playlist with all my perfect songs?
Yeah. So can I tell you about a comeback kid, a bounce back kid, a real true life rubber band man.
True life rubber band man. Let's hear it.
I'm going to talk about somebody. His name's Zach. That's his real first name. And he is a terrific example of a rubber band man. He played at our local high school. The kid, the high school that I coached at, and taught at for 23, 24 years, whatever. And he suffered a shattered elbow bone as a freshman. Then I believe a torn labrum. It might have been a rotator cuff issue too, as a sophomore. And then another, a ligament issue in his throwing arm as a junior. And this is a kid that he's a man child. This kid is, in fact, if he would bump up against me in the weight room, or at the gym, you would know it. I mean, it was like he just ran into a granite statue. I mean, he's just a strong kid.
Big,
and
strong
by the
kid.
Way, way better person. Way better person and young man than he is a baseball player. And he went into a senior season in, you know, the rankings things for whatever they're worth as the number one baseball player in the state. And was a pitcher. He's going to Oregon State on a baseball scholarship.
Wow.
And just terrific athlete, terrific player, terrific person. But I watched this kid over 3 years go through these devastating injuries that kept him out for part of the season or relegated him to only hitting and not pitching. And thankfully, his senior year, he was able to have a injury-free season and play throughout. But there were a few things that really helped him. And it's not that he was perfect in these. I remember interviewing his dad and Zach about these injuries back before his junior year or during his junior year. And there were a couple of things that really stood out to me. Number one, he had a great support staff from his high school coaching staff, his teammates, and especially his parents. And his dad admitted this was not easy for him. This is not easy to watch your son or daughter to have this injury and have to sit out. And you know everything that they have put into this, all the preparation, all the sweat, the blood, the tears. And then all of a sudden you're to the season, you're to the celebration time, the fun time where you get to play, and he's suffering these injuries. And yet he was just an example of resilience, optimism, and also put in the work. I could say he put in the work physically and mentally to deal effectively with these injuries, because we all know about the physical part of it, but what about the psychological part of it, Nate? I mean,
That's the real key. And I was going to ask you in that interview, what were some of the things that he came out with as far as like psychological things that helped him? Because you have this weird dichotomy of there's the physical part that you can't control. Like the injury is what it is. It's going to heal at the rate that it's going to heal. There are things you can do to help it. So that physical part is fundamentally uncontrollable, but the psychological part of it, that's where it's a lot more controllable. So that's the real high value place for someone that's injured to put their focus, both the parents and the performer.
Well, there was one thing that he actually showed me this rather than telling me this at our, I mean, he would work out at the high school gym, you know, weight room with the team, but then there's also a local gym that we have that I frequent. And I would see him, and this is back when I was, I don't go so early anymore because I'm not teaching anymore, but I would be in there early. So for a teenager to be in there early, we're talking after 5 a.m., before 6 a.m., that shows a measure of discipline and resolve. And Zach was there and was not able to do upper body work because it was his pitching. It was his shoulder, his junior year, I believe. Zach, it's hard to keep track of all your injuries and when they happened, but but he was there working on his legs and his flexibility. So that speaks to, I'm going to focus on what I can control And instead of just pouting and not doing anything, what can I do right now while my shoulder is injured that will help me?
Yeah. Well, when you think about the, like we've had those episodes where we shared about the big six things that really help with mental toughness, mental skills. And you have that, you know, all progress starts with the truth. You got to own the things that are real. You know, you're injured. You can't do anything about it. But where the focus goes, the energy flows. If you focus on how much it sucks, you know, how long it's going to take to get back, then you miss the opportunities that are there. And it sounds like Zach did a good job of finding the opportunities and creating opportunities to continue to grow, even though he wasn't able to go after what he wanted to and the timetable he wanted to.
Yeah, I think another thing his parents did was they, and it was not easy. In fact, his dad admitted that there were times where for all of them, his mother, him, mm-hmm. and Zach, there would be moments of frustration and
tears. There were plenty of tears.
Especially near the beginning of the injury too, because there's worries and frustration. His dad's worried that, okay, Zach wants to come back. If he comes back too soon, is this going to create a worse injury, further injury that then jeopardizes next season, jeopardizes his future opportunities in college and beyond? And those are real legitimate concerns to have. And so yeah. his dad had to show patience, model patience himself, and also had to communicate that to Zach and help him to understand that it's okay. We need to do this recovery, this healing, this mm-hmm. rehab. We need to do it correctly and work with professionals so that, I mean, basically, so we do it right and we do the best for you. And of course, Zach's trying to balance that with, I want to get back and play and I want to get back and help my team, because he's a consummate teammate. He is truly celebrates his teammate, wants them all to do well. And he's not a me guy.
Yeah. You're highlighting such a critical piece to that, the injury puzzle. It's the support network. And you know, parents have a role, the player has a role, and the medical professionals have a huge role in that too, because you have to listen to them and use them in the planning, because if you've got long-term goals, that injury can derail if you come back too fast, and then it can really cause some long-term problems. So bringing them into the loop is a critical piece of that puzzle. And they're often going to have bad news. And so, you know, that's, now you've got everybody with the psychology of it, and making sure that you're focused on your controllables. But that it's a total team effort coming back from injury, and everybody has a really important role to play in that.
For sure. I think there's another element too that parents can help with, and that is you can have more people on your support staff, people that you don't even actually know. For example, mm-hmm. I'm just thinking of some, you know, some rather notable examples of, and you could probably think of some too, some notable examples of high profile athletes that really mm-hmm. go through some devastating injuries. I mean, one that I think of, mainly because we're here in Utah, is Alex Smith, former Utah yeah. quarterback, and his pro quarterback, and his leg injury, just absolutely brutal. Yeah, I don't want to describe it because I don't like those kind of things, but him coming back from that, I think of I think of Bethany Hamilton, because I used to have a picture of her, a giant poster of her in my classroom, which was nope. talking about never giving up. And she's the young lady, the professional surfer that in Hawaii had her arm removed by a sea creature. And Shark
Week.
I mean, how do you even get back in the water there? I mean,
yeah,
but she bounced back. What are some high profile athletes you can think of that came back from injuries that the teens can look to as a source of inspiration and motivation?
Well, I know, basketball one comes to mind. Klay Thompson obviously had a couple of tough injuries and coming back. And you look at like tennis players, Monica Seles is a example. I know this is a little
Monica
dated.
Monica Seles.
She actually got stabbed on the court. Some crazed fan ran out and stabbed her. Yeah. And she was able to bounce back from that and continue to perform at high levels. And this is super old school, even before my time, but I love it as a golfer. You have Ben Hogan, who was hit by a bus and then came back and continued to win major championships. So
I did not know that.
Extreme examples of that. Yeah, that's, more common ones. You got like Peyton Manning and his neck injuries bouncing back from that. And
he won a Super Bowl.
So many great stories.
After his neck injury.
After major neck surgery, and you got Adrian Peterson coming back from, a bunch of knee injuries and being the MVP. I think this is actually a really good strategy for parents and players. When they're trying to come back from injuries, is find examples of people that you admire. Because almost every athlete, if you're in it long enough, you have some type of injury you have to deal with. You have some type of injury you have to overcome. And so there's plenty of stories out there where you can find inspiration that can help you overcome that psychological hurdle of, oh, how am I going to get back? Well, you got a bunch of other people that did it. You can do it too.
I was thinking about the persuasion formula. Mm-hmm. I know you know it.
Yeah, I know it, but our listeners aren't going to know exactly what that means. But that's a very powerful tool in helping overcome.
I actually think it's a great tool. Sure. I mean, I think it's a great tool for parents to use to help help an injured teen to play. Mm-hmm. The long game. Well, the persuasion formula is simply this. It starts with acknowledgement. So how would that work in an injury situation? I'm gonna put you on the spot, Nate, and ask you.
Please do.
Okay.
You have to own the situation. So with an injury, it's like we have to acknowledge the reality of this. You got a player that tore an ACL. Okay. You tore the ACL. And probably as a parent supporting your kids in that, it's okay for you to say, hey, this sucks. Validate those feelings, because what they're going through some really, really tough stuff. And it's okay for them to go through that. And that's the acknowledgement piece is, hey, this sucks. And it's okay to feel that way. Like, you don't need to love this. You don't need to, nobody wanted this for you. And so it's acknowledging how challenging the situation they're going through is. And really just helping them know that you see how hard it is for them. And that helps them feel seen, feel validated. And that gives them a foundation where now they can start to come back. It's like, yeah, that does suck. But now you go to the second part of the formula, which is you increase ambition or elevate the ambition.
Right.
And so now it's like, okay, we're hurt. This sucks. But time's going to move on. How do you want to come back from this injury? And start to create a vision of the future that's better. Okay. You want to come back stronger from this injury? Great. What do we need to do to come back stronger from this injury? And now you start to create the plan.
And this is where you can build in milestones. You can build in, and I think this is where the pros, I think this is where the physical therapists, the medical professionals, I think this is where they can be helpful. Like, what should we be shooting for in the next week, the next 2 weeks, the next day? Mm-hmm. And they can give you their best opinions on what they think should be happening. And I think if you raise their ambition and get them excited about, well, I'm already adding the last thing. I mean, you acknowledge, you add raising ambition, and we multiply it with emotion or affect. What does the parent need to do from an emotional standpoint? Does this mean go berserk? Does this mean just be Pollyanna?
No, you don't want to go Pollyanna. But what it is it's getting them emotionally invested in that future. How's it going to feel when you come back from this injury? What do you think it's going to feel like when you step on the court for the first time after being hurt?
How excited
are you going to be? And just asking them questions to get them creating the moment when they come back, some of the milestones they're going to hit, and helping them to see and feel how cool that's going to be when they get there. There's something that I want to address in this, and I know we have some coaches that listen to this as well, because a big part of the support team is the coach themselves and the role that they play in helping an injured player to still feel like they're involved, keeping them engaged in practice, keeping them engaged in the games. And a coach has a critical role in that. And as parents, it's, you know, high school coaches might be a little different. Sometimes they're overwhelmed. They have a lot of things on their plate. As a parent, you can encourage some thinking along those lines of, hey, what can we do to help him stay more involved? What can we do to help her feel like she's still a part of the team? And because the coach plays a critical piece in there, you know, it's a football coach, Coach Miller.
We've talked about this before. Yeah. I have a good friend that I coached with when I was an assistant at two different schools in football. And when he was a head coach in football, he would not, and at first I thought this was very odd, but he would not let the injured players congregate together on the sideline during practice. And he was very adamant about this. And I asked him one day, I go, why are you so adamant about them not hanging out together? And he goes, his observation was that it would sometimes turn into a pity party, something that I call misery magnetism, where
misery loves company.
Yes. And he wanted them, when they were hanging out on the sideline, they would tend to not be involved with the team. So yeah, he wanted them around the drills and stuff, obviously at a safe distance if they were immobile, but he wanted them engaged, hearing the instruction, being cheerleader for their teammates, learning. And that would also serve the purpose of keeping their mind off of their injury, which I don't think is helpful, you know, to be sequestered off to the side and I'm standing there with crutches, and then especially in
left
football,
to wallow in their injury.
They're 50 yards away on the practice field and doing their thing. So yeah, that fits into the whole idea of what can we control? Where do we need to put our focus? Where's a positive place to put our focus?
And coaches help a lot with that. Okay, to the practical application.
Okay, sorry. First one, I'm just going to mention them, and then why don't you elaborate?
Sounds good.
Briefly. Yeah, let's don't put on the nerd timer, but...
I'll put the nerd timer on. I love it.
Okay, so the first one, positive reframing. And this is for you, parents. Well, and for any teens listening too, and coaches. Positive reframing. How do we go growth mindset with this?
Where's the opportunity in this? How can I turn this into something that can be beneficial for me in the long run? What can
Great
I learn
question.
In the meantime? It's just asking, using good questions will guide you to reframe the experience that you're going through in a beneficial way.
Right. What is a technique that could help parents to teach their teens to be patient through this process?
Positive distractions can help a lot. Little milestones, like you mentioned that earlier, the milestones help a ton with the patients. Because if you're trying to get to something, like if your recovery is a long term, if you're like 6 to 8 months out, that's a long time. It's really hard to be patient. But if I have something that I'm trying to accomplish this next week, and I can break it down, I can be more patient knowing that I have these little milestones in the meantime. And I think that's critical towards a long-term patient approach.
Right. I think that melts into the last one too, which is looking for new opportunities to improve in another way. Mm-hmm. I actually have an example.
Well, it's the injured player that I was just going to say, it's the injured player that sits on the sidelines, and it's like, okay, well, maybe how can I coach this? You know, what does a coach see in this situation? How can I think more like a coach? And that could be a good opportunity for them to grow their mental understanding of whatever sport or performance they're looking at.
And I think once a player has gone through an injury, and you would have to be mature to do this, but he or she would learn how to successfully help a teammate later that is injured because they've gone through it. I also think of one of my friends in high school when he was, I think it was ninth grade year, sophomore year, maybe. He was right-handed and he broke his right hand. And this was during the off season. And he just kept playing basketball during that time period, but he was using his left hand more. He was the best left hand ball handler. He was probably the best ball handler anyway, but he became better because he took that time and he really focused on his left hand. And he also started shooting with his left hand. And later on, he was especially around the hoop and in shorter distances, like he could shoot with both hands. And which is now you're getting into Larry Bird territory, which is just amazing. But that was instead of, oh, my right hand's broken, I'm done, I can't do anything. He looked at it as an opportunity to add skill, even during the time that he was injured.
What a great approach. Like there's a lot to learn from that. Where's the opportunity in this?
Okay, you have 20 seconds to finish this up. We're past commuter time on this episode.
Nice. Just a great place to finish this up is just trying to focus on that persuasion formula, understanding what your athlete's going through. Parents, if you've got a kid that's out of their thing, make sure that you're seeing things from their perspective and validate that. It's okay for it to suck for them. It's not your job to make it all better, but you can help them the most by helping create a vision for the future and helping them feel that they can make this back. They can do it.
Terrific.
Parents, set the tone.
Set the tone, bounce back, become the rubber band man or woman.
On behalf of Steve Galley, I'm Nate Crandall, and we thank you, our loyal listeners, for tuning in to this episode. If you love what you're learning from the Stop Parenting and Start Coaching podcast, we would appreciate it very much if you would leave us a 5-star review and some glowing comments. We also encourage you to share this episode with your friends and family who are parents of athletes and performers. And if you want to explore further and see what Steve and I are creating to help thousands of parents, athletes, and performers, please visit our company's website at createtransformbecome.com. That's createtransformbecome.com. There you will find a growing number of resources to help you elevate your performance. Thank you again for your support, and we encourage you to create a magical relationship with your athlete and performer.